Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
At the end of June, Jerry Sandusky, former defensive coordinator for the Penn State football team, was found guilty of 45 out of 48 charges of child sexual abuse, guilty of molesting 10 boys over a 15-year period. He will likely die in prison. Former head of the FBI, Louis Free, conducted an investigation at the request of the Penn State Board of Trustees. That report was issued in mid-July. Among the findings was that then-President Graham Spanier had okayed covering up the accusations against Sandusky in order to save the school's image. Should this have really come as a surprise to anyone? My guest today is Dr. Judith Reisman. She's a visiting professor of law at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and she's the author of many books, and I know I'm going to ask her at the end of the interview to recommend some of those for our listeners to get a hold of and read. But thanks, Dr. Reisman, for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I wish I didn't have to be talking on all these shows
you
about the
always
nasty things.
Yeah, you just have done the most pleasant research
right.
that you get to talk
now,
about.
Let's get one thing clear before I got involved in all this garbage. You know, I used to be a songwriter and a happy soul. I worked for Captain Kangaroo. I don't know if you remember Captain.
Oh, yeah, I remember Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, and I worked for CBS, ABC, NBC, doing great works of art for children and writing music and singing and so on. Yeah, and here I am.
And here
I
am. Many years later. But then again, but what you're doing even now, though, even though you're not writing for Captain Kangaroo or any children's programming, you still are concerned about children, and your research has exposed what took place in like the Kinsey research, especially that research, and because so much of this, what we see today, the normalization or, you know, really the normalization of adult child sex and attempt to make it legal even.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's astounding to me, but then the research that you have done has helped expose that. Unfortunately, none of people are listening, and I hope with the Penn State situation that people would more so listen. But with Graham Spanier, with former President Graham Spanier of Penn State, should we really have been surprised that he was willing to let the molestation continue to save the reputation of Penn State?
Well, I think it's less, in all honesty, he was less concerned with the reputation of Penn State than he was with
his own
expose.
Skin. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Very true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Since he just got a federal job. Obama just gave him a federal job. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, he has a long history of being a Kinsey accolade, a follower, and so there's no surprise. I mean, it's like Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. Hugh Hefner was a virgin when he was in college, like most guys were back in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s even. And he then read Kinsey, and he said, oh, my goodness, the earth has moved here. I've been
rated or whatever.
Yeah. And he said, I will call myself Kinsey's pamphleteer from now on.
Wow.
And so he and Spiner and Spinner, whatever his name is, how do we say his name?
Whatever you want to say it.
Okay.
You're the professor.
Spineless.
That sounds good.
He's spineless.
Okay. Right.
The president, I mean, they shared with
all
due respect.
You mean Penn State, Spanier.
Spanier. Hefner and Spanier and millions and millions and millions of guys, you know, and women.
I followed him.
With all due respect, I mean, one doesn't excuse what Hefner's done in his life, of course not, or what Spanier's done in his life, of course not. But we have to say, where did they get these ideas?
Yeah.
You know, was this what? They opened their Bible and it was in there? No. They went to church and the pastor back in the 50s, you know, was recommending fornication and adultery and all those things that were illegal.
Right.
In those years? No, of course not. So then where was the credibility? Where was the authority for these ideas and the authority from these ideas for Spanier, for Hefner, for Sandusky, and for millions and millions came at that time from the university,
and
from another university, from the University of Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. Institute.
Yeah, the Indiana University of Indiana, they still have the Kinsey Institute. It's still there. It still has its name.
Oh, and, yes. And they're still getting our tax money, up to $20 million within the past, I guess it is, let's see, 15 years. Yeah, that we know of. That's basic.
That we know of. That's been made public.
Yeah, that's just the basic info.
Now, talking about the Kinsey Institute, is that an educational establishment that we can just walk into and take a guided tour or anything like that? Is
well,
it
if you're
accessible?
The right people, they'll let you take a guided tour.
But it's not really open to the public.
Well, it's supposed to be, right. Per se, but when two of their legislators, Cindy Noe and the other legislator, I'm trying to remember who it was, when they went to the Kinsey Institute because they wanted to look over that facility, they were denied entry to most of the facility. Now, of course, that's completely illegal, really.
Well, especially if they're getting $20 million taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But they will allow who they want, and the only people
Pick
they
and
will
choose.
Allow are people who will sing their song, mm-hmm. their siren song. And, of course, they wouldn't allow me.
No, probably not.
No, I tried years
yeah, you
and
tried.
Years ago.
That's interesting because Graham Spanier, back mm-hmm. in 2008, I think it was, when our state right to know law was changed, he lobbied to have Penn State excluded from much of the requirements to reveal documentation, mm-hmm. finances, and stuff like that. He lobbied uh-huh. to have them exempted from much of the right to know law, and that passed. That is still very much part of the right to know law. There was a state senator down in Westmoreland County that tried to get information about finances using the right to know law, and she mm-hmm. was denied. So.
Well, I think it's about time you reverse that based yep. upon the fact that mm-hmm. the main lobbyist for
Absolutely.
That would have benefited from it because mm-hmm. who knows what he was
right.
hiding.
Exactly. And actually, the state auditor has requested that that right to know law be revisited. So
uh-huh.
there has been a request. But
well, I hope you have a lot of pressure then.
I hope so, too. Governor Corbett
put on that
doesn't.
Because, quite frankly, you know, Spanier didn't work alone.
No. He did not.
No, he did not. Yeah. And so he clearly was part of a much larger, higher group. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah.
We know that. And
Right, exactly. We know there was the group of four there at Penn State who were accused of the cover-up. Of course, that's Graham Spanier, mm-hmm. Joe Paterno, Tim Curley, and
mm-hmm.
Gary Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all of them. In fact, of course, Joe Paterno died this spring of lung cancer, but the other two, Curley and Schultz, are charged with lying under oath to the grand jury. But Spanier's been charged with nothing. He's getting away scot-free. And that's mm-hmm. one of my big things is he's walking, and he's got this new federal job that Obama just gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still listed on the Penn State website as the President Emeritus. And we've mm-hmm. asked Penn State to remove that honorary title.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an article in Salvo Magazine entitled Kinsey's Love Affair with Pedophilia Three mm-hmm. Generations Later. You mentioned in that article that Spanier himself had subscribed to Kinsey's views for years,
mm-hmm.
that in 1972 he endorsed Kinsey to the Midwest Sociological Society, claiming that Kinsey had accurately documented the, quote, widespread existence of extramarital sexual relations, unquote, in the United States. And also in 76, under a grant from the National Institute of Child Health and Development, Spanier validated Kinsey's data on childhood sex play for similar scholars. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. I knew mm-hmm. he talked about wife swapping in a dissertation, but I didn't know that his connection was that close to Kinsey.
Well,
so,
you can't back Kinsey without backing Kinsey. And that means that, you know, the book that shows a two-month-old baby being sexually mm-hmm. tortured, and that's what that was, by an adult or more than one adult, we mm-hmm. don't know how many.
Right.
For Kinsey's book, his monolithic tome, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, which Spanier endorsed, absolutely.
Right.
You know, if you're starting to talk about Kinsey's great research, one of the key components of that research is that it's perfectly all right to have sex with little children,
mm-hmm.
with infants, indeed,
right.
Where he advocated that. And he said that it was healthy for them, you know, to... You know, healthy.
Yeah.
And when he described what he meant by, quote-unquote, an orgasm, excuse mm-hmm. me, this is the United States, you know, in our year.
Yeah.
He defined it as children who were fainting and having convulsions and screaming and weeping and writhing in pain. And so anyone with any normal comprehension who read that would have said, well, the only person who could say that would be a sadomasochistic pedophile.
Who would allow
nobody
that,
else
right.
could nobody else could say that.
Right.
And so that's what Kinsey was indeed. And Hefner has modeled himself on Kinsey, and Spanier has modeled himself on Kinsey. And the idea that he's not being charged, tells me that, and that he got this federal job from Obama, tells me that he has very, very tight relationships. And when I say that, what I mean is, quite frankly, that birds of feather flock together. We defend ourselves by surrounding ourselves with people who have secrets as bad or worse than ours. And so he has something on others.
Right. Well,
which is as bad
or
as what
or
they have on
what,
him,
yeah.
or worse,
yeah.
unless he is some very unusual person, that's come down to us from some unknown planet.
Yeah, unknown planet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So we know that Kinsey's belief system goes all the way up. I mean, it started in 1948. You've had how many, 60, 70 years almost, with people believing this and acting on it.
Yeah. As a nation, as a society, we really should not be surprised what we're seeing happening in our culture with the Kinsey Report and how it's been used to legitimize, to validate, like homosexuality or transgenderism or adultery or pornography, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We really shouldn't be surprised. Child sexual molestation, that all stems right from the Kinsey Report.
Yeah, and, the thing is, people have to understand, that report, what you're looking at there is simply, in a way, an extension of the French Revolution, when we were supposed to be able to do anything to anybody and that we wanted to, who was weaker than
right.
I am, kind of thing.
Right.
And that even goes back, of course, to paganism and barbarism and so forth. So, this Kinsey was being used as an extension of that. He's paid, he was supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. They had their own interest in pushing what he was doing. And now, of course, we've got children in our kindergarten being exposed to words and to conduct that you and I never been exposed to as adults because it's so cruel.
Plus,
so barbarous.
Right. Plus, you hear more and more often of children sexually assaulting other children.
Of course they are. It was unheard of in our day.
Absolutely.
Unheard of.
Absolutely.
Because you didn't sexualize the children. We've hypersexualized everything they're doing. And children are designed by God to be curious.
Yeah, true.
And so when a child is shown these sexual perversions, which they suspect are really bad, kind of, and wrong, well, they don't go next door to Mrs. Johnson's house, knock on the door and say, Mrs. Johnson, I just saw something that I think is called a sexual perversion, and, may I please try this with you?
Mm-hmm.
No, what they do is they find a younger child.
Right.
And that can be a child in their own family, sister or brother, whoever is available. Children are non-discriminatory. They're curious. They want to see how this fits, whether what they said is going to happen happens, and that sort of thing. And so they will molest, will rape, will do all sorts of horrible things, to their own,
to mimic
to the neighbor's
what they
child.
See. Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, parents, I can't begin to tell you how many parents write to me about their son who at age 11 or so sexually was assaulting the little younger kids, and sometimes boys, sometimes girls, and the parents had no knowledge of such a thing. Why would they have,
Right.
And then it comes to their attention. What do they do? How do they do? Child becomes a sex offender, listed in the sex offender registry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Child's life is ruined.
Right, absolutely.
Sister or brother's lives are ruined.
Right.
Police force goes after the kid. How about going after the pornographers? How about that?
Right. But they continue to say that pornography is a victimless crime.
Well, actually, I haven't really even heard that one lately.
It's harder and harder for them to say that, because when you tell stories about the 11-year-old who's molesting the younger neighbor children, and the stories that are coming out of children molesting their fellow students in the schools, it's hard to say that pornography is victimless. But they try to say it.
Well, they sort of shifted it. Now they say, teachers should have been there. Parents should watch their children. Yeah. I mean,
well, that's
you
like
know,
the
think
library.
About it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in the old days, children were completely free to go. You know, after you did your dishes, you did your chores.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go play. You
right.
know, I mean, nobody watched their
right.
children. You know, 24 hours a day. Nobody had to do that
exactly.
because we didn't have that kind of an environment that
right.
corrupted them. And as far as children molesting other children, they wouldn't have barely
even thought of it. They yeah,
no.
wouldn't have been in their minds at
no.
all. No.
No, they
right.
were playing ball. They were picking, you know, flowers. They were kicking stones.
Right.
They were doing things children have a right,
right.
to do. And we, in our infinite cowardice, have turned this culture over to a bunch of deviants.
Yeah.
So that we have destroyed childhood
absolutely.
For
and
the children.
Absolutely. And that's reflected in the entertainment as well as video games
mm-hmm.
that kids are, too many kids are addicted to now. I mean, it's not just coming out of Hollywood. It's also in the video games that are
absolutely
on the kids'
And we
computers.
Let that happen.
Yeah.
Because how do we let that happen? Well, if Spanier has friends in high places, yeah. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at your judges. You
mm-hmm.
know, look at your legislators.
Yeah.
How many of those folks are going to carry out their jobs appropriately? If, in fact, their secrets are that their computers
mm-hmm. are filled with that pornography or those
uh-huh.
type of video games.
How
yeah.
many?
Yeah.
We think the judges are not part of the problem? We've got judges who've been caught,
yes,
much less
that's true.
The ones who hide it.
Yeah.
You think that our legislators are not part of it? So how are they going to be able to appropriately rule
mm-hmm.
on cases that would protect children
right.
and protect women and
or,
families.
Right, or be willing to support laws that would
exactly
that would make it tougher on pornographers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
No.
They're dealing, number one, with their own conscience,
mm-hmm.
with protecting their own addictions,
right.
with fear that somebody is going to find out that if they vote that way, well, that's what they do too,
right.
and so on.
On occasion, you hear, definitely, there have been politicians who've been exposed to be hypocrites, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's very true, because increasingly we see politicians who are not willing to step forward and protect children, are
right.
not willing to step forward and pass laws to protect women and children. And a lot of it is what you're saying, is they themselves have something in the closet that they don't want to expose, and they know if they support laws
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
then
I would
someone
always
will
say
speak
that.
Out.
Anytime you have a legislator who votes the wrong way
uh-huh.
in terms of the protections, you know, return to a moral
right.
life, I would say, what's in your closet?
Mm, and that would be an excellent question.
You know, what's in your closet
right.
and what's on your computer? I know what's in your closet, yeah. and I know what you're hiding on your computer.
Yeah, wow. Just their actions expose that. You know, about the time that Jerry Sandusky was arrested and charged, there was also a situation up in Syracuse University.
Right.
Where
coach.
Right. Where Bernie
mm-hmm.
Fine, who was the associate basketball coach,
mm-hmm.
he was also charged with the same thing, engaging
mm-hmm.
in homosexual child abuse. And he was
That's
fired.
Right.
Again, we see this whole culture, and we see it right there's two examples in a university setting, and I'm sure that there are many more that have not yet
oh,
been exposed
so
and may never be exposed.
Well, when I was at American University, the president of American University, Richard Berenson, was exposed. 2 years, they went after me hook, line, and sinker because I was doing the wrong kind of research. I was
oh.
doing the right research and coming up with the right results, and they did not like that.
Wow.
And,
sure
enough,
so they considered
you know,
it the wrong research. They
right,
considered, right,
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. So sure enough, 2 years later it was, I think. So Berenson was arrested, and that was only because he was making these dirty phone calls, you know, all around the country. And one of the women that he called, she was married to a policeman who tracked
okay.
the calls. And they tracked it back to his office at American University.
Oh, my goodness.
Where he had his child pornography in the drawers in his office and was talking about having sex with, you know, with children, with the lady.
And this
children,
was the president
thing.
Of the American,
president
of American
University
at that time.
That's when I was doing
mid-80s.
My research. But at the same time, the head of the Department of Psychology, Dr. McGinnis, he also was turned in by a young child for sexual abuse in his trailer park at a nudist colony. Yeah. Now, he fled, as did Berenson, to get therapy right away.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, McGinnis then made made the right kind of decision because the charges tended, as far as I understand it, the charges were removed or something. But we don't know at all, really,
right.
that was the case.
Don't know all this.
No, there was never any denial that he had the trailer in the nudist colony and that, you know, there was some kind of activity hanging, you know, happening
dealing
over
with children,
there. So,
yeah.
And he becomes emeritus professor, and I think so did Berenson at American University. So this
Penn State
is all our universities.
Penn State is following in the same path that American University took.
Well, most of our universities today are plagued with this.
Yeah.
You must understand that.
Okay.
When I was at Case Western Reserve doing my PhD there, you know, the course I took, one of the young males was producing pornography.
Mm.
And when I spoke to the professor in charge, the professor explained that, well, that's really all right. You know, it's for desensitization purposes or something.
Desensitization.
Yeah.
Oh,
but since then, it's been clear that our universities are overwhelmed by professors who engage in pornographic materials. There's a guy, Northwestern, one of the professors was showing pornography to his students. In Las Vegas, a professor just recently went over the top so far that he was demanding that the students, and a lot of them, by the way, were high school students taking a college course, that the students, and I won't go into details because you can't say this even today on the radio, but engage in certain activities that were so outrageous that he even had to sort of face up to the fact that he was overstepping his bounds in terms of what he required.
But what about 10 years down the road? Would that be acceptable 10 years down the road?
Yeah, when our grammar school children are being shown pornography under the rubric of sex education.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
you know, people who are not on the fighting lines, people who are not out there battling and got to learn, you know, that's why you read, that's why I wrote these books and have produced various, I haven't produced them, but quite a few documentaries have been produced about Kinsey.
Give us the names of some of those books that people should read to so they can fully understand what's taking place and how it can be traced back to Kinsey.
Well, go to my website, and I have a lot of information
on
there where I'm referring people to various other avenues as well, but my website is drjudithreisman.com. That's drjudithreisman, R-E-I-S-M-A-N.com. And get, my last book was Sexual Sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
How One Man Has Corrupted the World. By the way, it is the Western world. There's a documentary on my website from Switzerland about Kinsey's role in corrupting the Swiss.
Oh, my goodness.
The Swiss educational system, sex education. I didn't know anything about it. A German colleague sent it to me.
Uh-huh.
And my book, Sexual Sabotage, is being translated into Chinese.
Wow.
Because a variation of Kinsey's book has been purchased by hundreds of thousands of Chinese.
Mm.
So mine is being translated into Chinese some folks over there. So, I mean, this man has had global, and Sweden, you know, how we look to Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Well, in 1960, Kinsey was being used to change their legislative and educational structure.
Wow.
So
he's had a worldwide impact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, enormous impact.
Yeah.
Enormous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Sexual Sabotage, and then before that, the book was Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences.
Okay.
That was another one. Before that was Soft Porn Plays Hardball, which is about Playboy's corruption of the public using Kinsey's data. And then before that was Kinsey's Sex and Fraud, and then my research for the Department of Justice, which is images of children, crime, and violence in Playboy. Uh-huh. Penthouse and Hustler. So there's a lot of work out there. A lot of research has been done that public should be using, legislators should be hearing about. The ALEC report, American Legislative Exchange Council, is on my website saying every state should investigate Kinsey in their school and their sex ed and so forth because this is all fraud based upon crimes. Massive.
That ALEC report is on your website also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that's drjudithreisman.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And folks can contact you through the website there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, they can. Or through Liberty University. They can always contact Liberty University School of Law.
Okay, since you're there.
You know, can reach me there.
Okay.
But the key then, people, is to become educated, more knowledgeable than your opponents,
mm-hmm.
And believe me, just read and you will be.
That's for sure. And I highly recommend those books for those who are questioning Kinsey, who he is, and what kind of a negative impact he's had around the world. But I do encourage our listeners also to go to Dr. Reisman's website, drjudithreisman.com. That's R-E-I-S-M-A-N. And I thank you so much for all the research you've done. And even though you're not writing for Captain Kangaroo any longer, you're definitely still helping children.
Thank you.
Hey, take care.
Okay. Yes.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.